Hello and welcome to Strategic Planning for Business Owners. I'm Stephen Young, Senior Vice President at UBS Financial Services and a senior member of the Business Transitions Consulting Team. Now, I'm calling this episode Essential for All Listeners because I'll be tackling a topic that affects nearly everyone, regardless of whether you own a business or not, long-term care planning. Here's a sobering statistic. About 85% of couples will use at least one long-term care service before they pass away. And yet most people I speak with have either underestimated the likelihood they'll need care, or they've overemphasized the potential costs based on a worst-case scenario they witnessed with a family member. Today, we're going to cut through the confusion and give you the real numbers, the real probabilities, and most importantly, practical strategies you can implement right now. Let's get started. First, let's establish what we're actually talking about when we say long-term care. Long-term care services assist you with personal care as you age. Most long-term care helps with what healthcare professionals call activities of daily living, or ADLS. Think about what you do every morning: getting out of bed, bathing, dressing, eating, using the bathroom. Your ability to perform these activities independently provides a gauge of your functional status and whether you need ongoing assistance. For this discussion, we're focusing on the three main types of long-term care that you're most likely to use. First, home health aides. These professionals provide private home-based care and help with activities of daily living like bathing, cooking, and transportation. In some states, they can give medication and check vital signs, but home health aides are generally not medical professionals. Second, assisted living facilities. These generally provide personal care support for activities of daily living. Plus, they help coordinate care with outside healthcare providers. They offer varied living arrangements from standalone homes to individual apartments within larger facilities. Third, nursing home facilities. These cater to people who need continual medical care and have significant limitations with daily activities. Nursing homes offer the most extensive non-hospital care available for the elderly, typically with physical, occupational, and respiratory therapists on staff. And here's something many people don't realize. Nursing home visits are rarely final. Approximately 77% of people who go into a nursing home actually return to the community, typically with a home health aide or by moving into assisted living. Now let's talk about costs, because this is where things get interesting and potentially concerning. I am recording this podcast in December 2025. Based on nationwide monthly median costs, assisted living facilities cost about $5,350 per month. Home health aides cost $6,292 per month, and nursing home facilities cost $9,201 per month. But here's the kicker. Costs vary dramatically based on location. A year in a nursing home costs approximately $72,000 in Texas, but $173,000 in New York. That's more than double. And these costs are rising faster than general inflation. Over the past 10 years, home health aid costs have increased 5.4% annually. Assisted living has gone up 4.5% annually, and nursing home costs have risen 3.4% annually. Compare that to general inflation of 2.8% over the same period. So when we're projecting future costs for planning purposes, we're using these future inflation estimates: 5% for home health aides, 4.1% for assisted living facilities, and 3% for nursing home facilities. Here's the question everyone asks me. Steve, will I actually need long-term care? Quite possibly, yes. I know that's difficult to imagine and acknowledge, but based on comprehensive analysis, about 85% of couples will use at least one long-term care service before they pass away. Let me break this down by gender and type of care. Men have a 43% probability of ever using a nursing home. Women have a 60% probability. But here's what really matters. There's a 77% likelihood that at least one member of a 65-year-old couple will need to use a nursing home for some period of time. Now, remember what I said earlier about nursing home visits rarely being final? People go in, get treatment, and then return to assisted living or home care. Your financial plan needs to account for these transitions, not just a one-way ticket to a nursing home. So here's where the planning gets challenging, and this is crucial to understand. Long-term care expenses follow what's called a power law distribution. You might know it as the 80-20 rule. What this means is that outcomes are highly uncertain and unevenly distributed. About 15% of households will have no long-term care expenses at all. The median 65-year-old couple will incur approximately $323,000 in long-term care expenses during their lifetimes. But, and this is a big but, roughly 37% of families will incur expenses of more than $500,000, and 19% of families will incur expenses greater than $1 million. Let that sink in for a moment. One in five couples will face long-term care costs exceeding $1 million. This is why I find that many investors either downplay the costs or exaggerate the likelihood of worst-case scenarios. Those who downplay it tell me they plan to stay healthy and avoid the expense entirely. Those who've witnessed family members with worst-case outcomes assume they'll also need years of care that will deplete their estate. The reality? You're likely to need some care, but you're unlikely to experience devastating expenses. However, self-funding the worst 25% of outcomes, which ranges from roughly $750,000 to $4 million in expenses, is impractical for the vast majority of American households. It's the functional equivalent of trying to self-fund rebuilding your house after a fire instead of holding insurance to cover the cost. Now let's talk about how these expenses can impact an otherwise solid retirement plan. A UBS analysis created 1,000 simulated trials of long-term care expenses for 65-year-old couples, then overlaid those expenses on otherwise successful financial plans. The results were sobering. For households with $1 million in assets, financial plans failed, meaning they completely depleted their portfolio 30% of the time when long-term care expenses were included. For $5 million households, plans failed 14% of the time. For $10 million households, plans still failed 13% of the time. Based on this analysis, we can conclusively say that long-term care expenses can ruin an otherwise well-considered financial plan for households under $10 million net worth. Think about that. If you're a successful business owner who's built a $3 million nest egg, you might have a retirement plan that looks great on paper. But if you haven't accounted for long-term care, you've got better than a 1 in 7 chance that your plan fails completely. So what can you do about it? Let's talk about solutions. Many people ask me about long-term care insurance. Here's what you need to know. LTC insurance can help reduce financial plan failures, but it isn't designed to protect you against worst-case scenarios. Think about homeowners insurance. You pay a small deductible, and the insurance company covers the remainder of the loss. If your house burns down, you might have a $10,000 deductible, but the insurance company would cover losses above that level. Ideally, an LTC policy would work the same way. You'd have a reasonable deductible, and the policy would cover expenses above that amount. But that's not how these policies are structured. Instead, they generally have low or no deductibles and also have caps on annual and lifetime coverage. There are generally three types of LTC insurance policies. Traditional long-term care insurance policies allow you to customize benefits based on your needs. You pay premiums monthly, quarterly, or annually. The significant drawback? Premiums can be subject to rate increases. You might buy a policy thinking you'll pay X amount, but that amount can go up over time. Hybrid long-term care insurance policies provide long-term care coverage and include a death benefit. The premium is commonly paid upfront in full or in a series of fixed installments. If long-term care is never used, your beneficiaries usually receive a death benefit equal to the purchase price of the policy when you die. Permanent insurance policies with a long-term care rider focus on providing a larger death benefit like traditional life insurance, but include a small rider that covers long-term care expenses. Another approach is using an annuity. Some annuities are specifically designed for long-term care planning, offering features like long-term care riders that increase payouts if you need care. Let me share a few additional considerations that are often overlooked. First, if you're part of a same-sex couple, pay particular attention to this planning. Male-male couples have a lower usage rate for long-term care services than female-male couples. Female-female couples are at particular risk due to longer life expectancies and higher expected long-term care usage. Second, don't count on Medicare to solve this problem. Medicare covers skilled nursing home care for a limited time and with restrictions. It covers up to 100 days if you enter the nursing facility within 30 days of a hospital stay that lasted at least 3 days. But 100% coverage is only provided for the first 20 days, after which you're responsible for a daily copay. Third, consider the advantages of hybrid policies. You're guaranteed to receive benefits whether you need long-term care or not. If you don't use the long-term care benefit, the death benefit gets paid to your beneficiaries. Unlike standalone long-term care insurance, you won't lose the premiums paid if you never need the care. Plus, hybrid policies often have fixed premiums that don't increase over time. However, hybrid policies also have considerations. The long-term care benefit may not be as comprehensive as standalone coverage, they're less flexible if your needs change, and you may face surrender charges if you cancel the policy early. In general, buying long-term care insurance allows you to have more confidence about the size and timing of outflows to meet your lifetime spending needs. In turn, this gives you the ability and confidence to set aside more funds in your long-term investment strategy, where they can be invested in strategies that aim to maximize growth for inheritance or philanthropy. Without long-term care planning, you're forced to hold more assets in conservative positions just in case, which can limit your ability to grow wealth for the next generation or causes you care about. Self-insuring by using liquid assets to pay for long-term care expenses provides more control and allows for growth potential if you invest the funds, but as we've discussed, it's impractical for most households to self-insure against worst-case outcomes. So, what are your next steps? First, have an honest conversation with your family about long-term care preferences. Ask yourself these questions. Would you prefer to remain in your home if you need care? If so, who would provide that care? What type of care environment do you envision for yourself in the future? If care is needed, what resources would you use to cover the costs, self-funding, health savings accounts, insurance? Second, if you already have a financial plan, ask your advisor to run a scenario that includes long-term care expenses. If you don't have a comprehensive financial plan, this is exactly why you need one. A comprehensive financial plan is the best way to understand the impact that potential long-term care costs could have on the longevity of your retirement assets. Third, explore your insurance options. Talk to a qualified insurance professional about traditional, hybrid, and life insurance with long-term care riders. Understand the trade-offs of each approach. And fourth, and this applies particularly to business owners listening to this podcast, consider how long-term care planning intersects with your business succession planning. If you're planning to fund your retirement primarily through the sale of your business, you need to factor potential long-term care costs into your exit planning strategy. What looks like enough money to retire comfortably can be insufficient when you layer in the uncertainty of long-term care expenses. Here's my bottom line. Nearly everyone will need some form of long-term care, but the costs are highly uncertain. Most families will face manageable expenses, but a significant minority will face catastrophic costs that can derail even the best laid plans. You can't eliminate the risk entirely, but you can make informed decisions about how to manage it based on your specific situation, your resources, and your values. The worst thing you can do is ignore it and hope for the best. The second worst thing you can do is overreact and structure your entire financial life around a worst-case scenario that may never happen. The right approach? Understand the probabilities, explore your options, and build a comprehensive plan that addresses this risk alongside all your other financial goals. As I bring this episode to a close, I hope you found this discussion on long-term planning educational and thought-provoking. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to reach out to your financial advisor to see how a possible long-term health event might impact your financial future and discuss what options might be appropriate for your unique situation. I'd also invite you to visit us at www.advisors.ubs.com/business to learn more about our full suite of solutions. Again, that's www.advisors.ubs.com/business. As always, thank you for listening to Strategic Planning for Business Owners. If you found this episode valuable, please subscribe and share it with someone who might benefit, whether they're a business owner or not, because as we've discussed, this issue affects nearly everyone. Until next time, this is Stephen Young reminding you that the best time to plan for long-term care is long before you need it.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This podcast was edited by Resonate Recordings.